This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Tonight, it's all about Singapore and the summit. That's right, North Korea and the U.S., the handshake between Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un. Kate Delaney here on ATN. Very pleased to welcome to the show Luke Vargas, who is there in the middle of all of this, as I mentioned, in Singapore. Luke, thanks for jumping on.
You're very welcome. Glad to be with you.
So let's talk about some of what happened already and what we've heard on this side. Everybody's analyzing the body language. They're talking about the first chat they had over beef, short ribs, Dennis Rodman getting emotional. What do we know?
We know that meetings are ongoing. There have been three meetings so far, or two at least, that have already wrapped up, taking us to where we are currently, which is a expanded bilateral meeting. So things got underway, looking at my watch here, about 3 hours ago. That is when Trump and Kim Jong-un, on a little island off the coast of Singapore, a very exclusive posh resort, met. They shook hands, then they went into a conference room, and we're told for about 38 minutes the two leaders met with nobody else in the room except for their translators, which I think is both understandable and also a little bit concerning. I mean, on the sort of positive side, right? We believe that a rapport is necessary between these men, that you've got to basically understand who you're negotiating with, even if it's an adversary, and perhaps, you know, getting a little bit away from the expert level analysis and the critique of every word, letting these guys sort of ham it up might actually pay dividends in the long run. On the other hand, there's concern that, of course, you're not going to get any questions thrown at Kim Jong-un from the press. He's been not even really turning to look at the U.S. media. And Trump, of course, is inclined to try and skew, you'd imagine, any sort of recap of that meeting to emphasize all the positive elements only. And so perhaps we'll actually never know what happened. But other officials do come into the subsequent meeting. So after 38 minutes of that one-on-one, we have a meeting where Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, the White House Chief of Staff John Kelly, and National Security Advisor John Bolton, someone who had been basically shut out of the North Korean diplomacy several days ago after seemingly trying to scuttle this whole Singapore summit by invoking the Libya model of denuclearization. He's there at the table alongside a small delegation accompanying Kim Jong-un. That goes on for about an hour. That just broke up. And now everyone has apparently also wrapped up a lunch. So that's where we stand right now. The latest guidance from the White House is we're going to have a press conference with President Trump at an undisclosed location. We will be up to in about 45 minutes. And we're thinking that could take place around 4 p.m., which would be 4 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. The president's tentative plan is to leave 4 hours after that, 8 p.m. local time, 8 a.m. In the United States. That's basically all we know about the itinerary at this point, and there's been no release from the White House yet of any sort of joint statement, which is kind of the meat and potatoes of this whole summit that we will be dissecting to see exactly where the talks stand. So, unfortunately, not all that much to report currently.
And, Luke, heading into this speculation, all kinds of speculation about what could happen. What's the best possible outcome from the United States' point of view, from Trump's point of view?
I would say we could, you know, go way above and beyond what anyone's expecting and say North Korea not only agrees that they're willing to talk about giving up their nuclear weapons program, but signs along the dotted line to some sort of more technical agreement that actually spells out how those weapons and how nuclear material will be taken out of their country. Except I don't think there's really anybody in the nuclear nonproliferation nuclear diplomacy realm that thinks we're anywhere near being ready for that. North Korea's nuclear program is vast. It's still largely unknown to the West, including to the CIA, which has always been behind on the true threat of that nuclear program. So, and these talks have only really been in the works for 3 months, technically, but probably in earnest for less than that. So I would say the best thing the U.S. could hope for is simply an acknowledgement from North Korea that they're willing to play by the rules that we're setting forth, which is that a long-term diplomatic process that would see them eventually give up their nuclear weapons is something they are going to agree to in general terms. I know that doesn't sound like very much, but I do think the sort of take here is that anything more ambitious than that isn't really realistic and maybe shouldn't be taken seriously. It's just the kind of acceptance of the terms of negotiation that we'd be looking to see from North Korea.
Yeah, and you, I can imagine how many people in the press are there. What is it like? I mean, there's got to be people from all over the place, right?
Yeah, there are 5,000 reporters here from around the world. I am in a slightly smaller, slightly more exclusive group, which is about 300 reporters that are with the president. And it is our contingent that will be going over to the press conference later. They are not busing 5,000 people, but correspondents of, you know, from all crazy countries to that meeting. So I'm in a slightly more exclusive group. But that said, you know, you've probably seen from the reporting of this and the way this summit has been covered on Twitter, there is only a handful of reporters who happen to have pool duty today that were actually in any of the little photo ops between Kim Jong-un and President Trump. We're talking maybe 6 correspondents from around the world plus North Korean state media. So it's the sort of sad reality of some of these major summits, Kate, is that we come halfway around the world and we find ourselves in hotel ballrooms, and the challenge really becomes about maximizing the sources here, right? Going to the hotel bars at night, seeing which diplomatic negotiators are putting back a Singapore sling at midnight, but just going off of the official report, you know, you have these absurd moments where you see 200 reporters rushing up to a CNN television stand to listen to the latest remarks that Kim Jong-un and President Trump are making, and you start to realize, if that's really all you're doing here, you might as well have just stayed at home. So I'm trying to stay a little bit ahead. But again, I think the real reporting is going to come once we get a leak or the actual text of the joint agreement between these two countries. And it's pretty astonishing we haven't gotten a leak so far. If you look back at when Kim Jong-un and the South Korean president met at the DMZ last month, there were leaks about that joint statement weeks in advance. It turns out the final draft was a little bit different, but the extraordinary thing about this document that we might get today is that it's still in flux, right? The U.S. and North Korea really didn't know what their common ground was going to be until the president and Kim Jong-un sat down, and so it's probably very likely they're writing that as we speak, and until then, you know, it's kind of premature to start making the phone calls and getting all the expert takes on it, so we're in a holding pattern right now.
All right, Luke Vargas, thank you so much, and we'll be talking at you again, of course, and enjoy the rest of your time in Singapore.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, so that's great. There he was, waiting with 500 other reporters to find out what happened in that meeting. We've got more on the speculation coming up next here on America Tonight.
This is a warning to all household pests, to all cockroaches, spiders, ants, mice, and rats. If you've made yourself at home in someone else's home, you'd better hope the owners never hear about Terminix. Because Terminix has the know-how and the means to do whatever it takes to remove you from that home. Terminix has 90 years of experience eliminating home invaders. And they make it easy for homeowners to be protected by offering a free pest estimate by calling 1-800-676-9879. Cockroaches, spiders, ants, mice, rats, and other pests. This is your last chance. With one call, Terminix will remove you from the home you've invaded. If you think you can simply come back later, think again. Terminix will never stop working to keep you out with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Pests, wherever you are,
I will find you.
Pests, you've been warned. Homeowners are calling Terminix right now for a free pest estimate. 1-800-676-9879. 1-800-676-9879. 30-day money-back guarantee at participating locations. Limitations apply. See plan for details.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
North Korea and the United States and that posh island, which is really a man-made island, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Just to paint the picture for you a little bit more, it's the Capella Hotel on Singapore's Sentosa. It's a resort island with luxury hotels, a casino, crazy man-made beaches, and a Universal Studios theme park, which I don't know, I find funny. So, as we heard from Luke Vargas in the first segment, he joined us live right from the middle of it. Pretty cool. He talked about the fact that the president guided Kim Jong-un to the library where they had a meeting with only their interpreters, period. That was it. Nobody else was around. As a kind of a side note to this, there were some worries about the financial markets, but so far, and I just checked, the Nike, et cetera, and they're pretty steady in Asia and haven't had any kind of a movement, any kind of a reaction to the start of the summit whatsoever. What comes out of this is going to be very intriguing. Maybe that we're going to move forward. We're going to have more conversation. I don't know. Nobody knows until that emerges. Only speculation as to what it could mean. A bigger meeting, a wider meeting, and certainly there is a wider meeting happening because you've got teams having a working lunch, or they had a working lunch with both sides. And it's interesting, people are trying to kind of read the body language, I think. Here's Kim Jong-un, the little tiny bit from him.
It has not been easy to come to this point. For us, the past has been holding us back, and old practices and prejudices have been covering our eyes and ears. But we have been able to overcome everything to arrive here today.
All right, so a lot to get there, and that was pretty much what the storyline was heading into this. Somebody who's played a role is close to Kim Jong-un, has played basketball in that country, has spent a lot of time with him, is a former NBAer, and that's Dennis Rodman. And here's what Dennis Rodman had to say about the summit.
If Trump goes in there with a great heart, with his heart on the table, and let Kim Jong-un see him, really emotional as far as like speaking to him, it ain't got to be about war. It ain't got to be about hatred or what happened in the future or in the past. We'll move on to the future. And I've told people about Kim Jong-un. He's all about the 21st century. He's trying to progress his country.
All right, progress his country. So will that progress? What will happen? You know, it was just a couple of months ago where Kim pretty much was a pariah. If you remember, he was accused of killing his uncle, a half-brother, a bunch of other officials that he suspected of disloyalty. So this whole summit thing happened after that. And the fact is the speculation is that the talks would focus, of course, and what would you think, building a permanent kind of peacekeeping mechanism on the Korean Peninsula, period, and realizing denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula is mutually beneficial. Certainly South Korea is thinking about that. And ahead of the summit, though, North Korea rejected unilateral nuclear disarmament. So they didn't do that, and it looked like things were going to fall apart because the United States wants to remove a nuclear umbrella that protects South Korea and Japan, right? So, of course, President Trump spoke to South Korea and Japan's prime minister to talk about what the developments, the lay of the land, what it would look like ahead of the summit. Because when you look at North Korea, we certainly all know that, but here's just another little history lesson. He's an authoritarian leader of a very militarized state that has not had contact, very much contact with the outside world. All of a sudden, boom. So the ultimate goal from, aside from, I guess, security guarantees about nukes, etc., would be freedom and, I guess, support to a very impoverished economy. And that's when you're an authoritarian, militarized state and you're the head of it, keeping the people down is pretty much what you do. And that's what he inherited and then took it up to another level. A lot of the experts are saying that North Korea, that a lot of people in North Korea would still be very skeptical that this leader would ever completely abandon nuclear weapons. And they think that his engagement is to try to get the United States to ease sanctions because the sanctions are so crippling. And we certainly have played this game before. So is the process doomed before it even really begins? That also is part of the speculation. Now, you throw into this, you think about the Korean War and 1950 to 53, and so technically we would still be at war. And that war, millions of people died, and it just ended with the truce. Heading into the meetings, there wasn't too much said by the U.S. Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, who just kind of was cautious and said that we'd have to see whether Kim would prove to be sincere about the willingness to denuclearize. So there was a bunch of last-minute talks to kind of lay the groundwork, and, you know, sanctions are not going to be lifted unless the nukes are done or lifted. It doesn't make any sense. So they'll stay in place. And even Pompeo reiterated that, saying if diplomacy doesn't move in the right direction, the measures increase. So it'll get worse. So does this become the moment of permanent and durable peace? It's just wild to think about it. That really this could be that deal. For our president, it would be a huge foreign policy success. You can't deny that. it would certainly would put him in a place in history where you couldn't touch anything about the president other than to say, meaning that this is historic, especially if they take the nukes away. That, again, is huge. What would it measure up to? Kind of like think of President Nixon in China in 1972 and how different China was and how that opened the door for the transformation of China. I think this is even up just a little bit, a notch higher perhaps, but somewhere in the same scope of how big it would prove to be, it would be on that level. Absolutely. So Kim leaves Tuesday afternoon. He's a reclusive leader. There's no question about that. He was waving to people. He visited the waterfront being there. And he certainly seems to be a little more affable, at least from some of the photographs that have been snapped. And it's just, boy, so interesting to watch this. Will we really get a changed era or not? Because of what happened ahead of the summit and the caution of South Korea and Japan, and throw China into the mix, I suppose, in a way, because obviously they play a role in what happens in North Korea. So you have these North Korean flags everywhere and U.S. flags, and you have the U.S. president shaking Kim Jong-un's hand. And I think it's interesting to get the perspective of Dennis Rodman, because Dennis Rodman is kind of the oddball in this, the whole thing, except for that he knows the North Korea leader very, very well and has spent a ton of time with him. So Dennis Rodman, kind of emotional, saying, I knew things were going to change. And how he used to get death threats by befriending North Korea's leader in the past. And now he actually might have eased some of the tension that's there. So, wow. Can't wait to see what happens when this wraps up. Coming up next, for something completely different, we're talking about a very mysterious boat in New Jersey. Stay with us here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the 3-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. And enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
President Trump is set to meet with North Korea's Kim Jong-un coming up at 9 o'clock Eastern Time Former Ambassador to the UN Bill Richardson has some advice for President Trump.
What I would do, Sandra, and maybe the president is heading that way, is give him a security guarantee to the North Koreans. Like, say, Kim Jong-un, we're not going to try to knock you off, but you've got to do a bunch of things.
The U.S. Supreme Court rules in a case regarding voter registration. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the story.
The High Court says states can purge inactive voters from the rolls. The ruling comes in an Ohio case involving the removal of people from voter rolls after they didn't cast ballots in elections for 2 years and for not returning warning notices about it. The High Court's conservative majority prevailing in the 5-4 ruling, Ohio has purged thousands of people from its voting rolls in recent years.
This is USA Radio News.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Is a man who's touched on something that's so fascinating to me, and I know you're going to find it fascinating as well, especially as you listen to me over the years talk about my background, and his name is Bill Fortenbaugh, and he has written a book called From Beatons to Beach Haven. There's the hint, but I don't know that you'll understand what the book is about. If you look at the title, the subtitle is A Cat Ghost. There's another hint in what this is about. And I've talked about sailing on this show before and growing up with a little sunfish, but this is much bigger than a sunfish. Bill, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Good, good.
So tell us, I've mentioned the title of the book, obviously, in the subtitle. What is the title really telling us, the potential reader?
Well, that seems easy enough. The beginning of the title is From Beatons to Beach Haven, and that identifies the area in New Jersey. It's Barnegat Bay. Beatons is a boatyard that builds boats at the northern head of Barnegat Bay, and Beach Haven is at the southern end where the Little Egg Harbor Yacht Club is. And ACAT refers to a kind of boat that was built at Beatons Boatyard. It's 28 feet long, 47-foot mast, that's pretty tall, weighs 2 tons, and is raced with 8 people aboard.
Wow. And the stories that boat could tell, that's absolutely for sure. And in fact, this boatyard that you talked about where Ghost was built also was retired, right? Because there's a museum.
Well, the Beach Haven part of the museum, that's the New Jersey Maritime Museum, right near the Little Egg Harbor Yacht Club.
Yep.
And after 22 years of racing Ghost, the crew collapsed, the skipper collapsed, and we decided to donate the boat to the museum.
There you go. And so that's where you can see it. So it's interesting. I should back up and talk about your background. You are an author of a lot of scholarly books, let's say, and you sent me a review, and I looked this up too, and it was fascinating. One of the reviews published on Amazon describes your book as fast-paced and hardly ever dull. That's high praise. So talk about what made you write this book and what it was like for you to go in this direction instead of what you would normally do.
Well, that is a good question. Well, I like to think of myself as a scholar who gets up every morning, reads a little Greek, perhaps a little German, and then gets on to Aristotle and writes scholarly books full of footnotes. But having sailed Ghost for 22 years and having seen it been built, I really fell in love with the idea of writing something very, very different. So I set out to write about this boat, and I realized somewhere along the line this isn't a scholarly book. I threw away all the footnotes and tried to write shorter sentences, and I think it worked out pretty well. At least that's what the reviews in Amazon say, and it was a joy to write. It's just that simple.
Right, as you say, a joy to write because you lived it. You mentioned for 22 years you were aboard Ghost. You were aboard the boat. So that means you have some sailing acumen. And what was sailing like for you? What did it mean to you?
It's one of my earliest activities, which I've carried into later life. I got my first boat at the age of 8, and it was a wooden boat. 12 feet long. We call them duck boats. They were originally duck hunting boats. And then I moved up to a 15-foot boat and then to a 18-foot boat, all of them wooden, and so on as I got older. And in the middle years, I didn't do much sailing because I was trying to cut a career in academia. But in any case, I started sailing early, and I still love the sport, and I wanted to write about it, so I did.
You know, having started at 8 years old and sailing meaning so much to you for your life, certainly you raced in regattas, sailboat races, for people listening, and, you know, there's people on board with you and there's people that you want to go after or you want to beat. So there's some rivalries in sailing. Talk about that.
Well, that's an understatement. Racing is a matter of, well, racing sailboats anyway. You can always go out for a pleasure sail and drag your hand in the water, but that was never part of our nature. And the ACAT fleet in my time there became very competitive to the point where the boat builders were proceeding in secret and the owners were adding to their boats in secret. And they've developed an arms race, I like to say. Let me give you just one example. In the second year that we were in the class, the first year we had dominated, and people obviously wanted to do things to their boats to go faster. And one of the competitors removed the wire stays, or at least partially, and put in a synthetic material named Spectra. And Spectra is much lighter than wire. And when I discovered that at the beginning of the season, I was outraged. I didn't know you should do that. I was new to the class at that point. So I phoned up the builder, and the builder's a very nice chap in Philadelphia. And he said to me, Bill, you're forgetting that this is a development class. There are certain rules, the length of the boat and the width of the boat. But after that, everybody can make changes as they see fit. And he was right, so I politely said okay and went silent. But the next year I got Spectra on my boat as well.
That's good. So once you had that on your boat, how many championships did you win when you were sailing?
Well, you're referring to Ghost, I hope.
Yes.
If you start at the age of 8, you
yes.
may have any number of champions, some of which were against people who could hardly sail. But forgetting that, that's not when you get in a boat like Ghost at 28 feet long and a 47-foot mast. But we won the first 7 bay championships we were in.
Wow.
And then deterioration set in. But along the way, it wasn't always easy. And to pick up and try and tie together winning the championship with rivalry, let me tell you the story of the rivalry between Vapor and Ghost. When we launched Ghost, we had a celebration. celebratory launching, broke a bottle of beer on the bow to celebrate it. And the skipper of Vapor grabbed the microphone away from me in the course of the launching and said he was very pleased to be at the launching because this was the last time he'd see the transom of Ghost. Now, the transom is the rear of the boat, and what he was saying was he'd never be behind us to see the rear of the boat. Well, he was hoping, I think, that I would grab the microphone back, but I didn't grab it back. I didn't take the bait. I said absolutely nothing in reply. I decided to let sailing decide the issue. And the first year, we had some troubles, but we won 7 of 8 races and won the Bay Championship, and I think the chap was a little unhappy about that. But the second year, he was doing much better. And the third year, we went into the last race tied even. So whoever won that race was going to win the championship. And I got a rather poor start, my own fault. I hadn't focused hard. And I realized that we were 2 boat lengths behind this man, and we better do something to clear the air. So I tacked quickly off going south. And for some reason, he didn't cover. He didn't hold on to his advantage. And 15 minutes later, when we reached the weather mark, we could tack back the other way, cross his bow, and get around first and never let him get in. So that's the kind of rivalry. It can be quite intense, or if you have done well in every race early on, it can be rather relaxing. But we had our tense moments, and I'm pleased to say for 7 years we did just fine.
I love that. We're speaking with Bill Fortenbaugh, and of course the book is From Beatons to Beach Haven. What do you want people to take away from reading your book?
Oh, well, let me name two. One is that we had a great deal of fun when we could on the boat. And we made the Rheingold song our fight song. Now, if you're my age, you'll know that Rheingold was the largest beer on the East Coast back in the 50s and 60s. And they had a wonderful jingle. My beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. Think of Rheingold whenever you buy beer. And on it goes. And when we would win and at award ceremonies, we would sing this song. But the seventh year, some chap from another yacht club, I won't name him, he obviously had no sense of humor at all, and he wrote a letter of protest to the regatta committee and said, that has to stop, there are young children in the audience. So the regatta committee should have just told him to lighten up, failed to do so, and so we could not sing the song. And what they didn't realize, this chap didn't realize, nor the regatta committee, that by singing the Rheingold song, we were actually raising the level, because the Rheingold song is sung to a German waltz written in 1883, and that's pretty good for a sailboat award ceremony.
Mm-hmm. That's a great story. Rheingold, I'm familiar with that. The jingle, that was great. You did a great rendition of that.
I hardly have a voice this morning. Oh, but the other thing I wanted to say about the book, it wasn't just having fun. The other thing I think I wanted to say was the impression I wanted to give with great emphasis that I was so impressed with the people at Beaton's Boatyard. I mean, they are the finest group of men I know, and they build with care. And we record the building of the boat from the lane of the keel, which was 26 feet long, and right through to the putting the mast up. So I wanted people to get a sense of just how perfect that boatyard is, what craftsmen they are. And then in the course of describing the races and one thing or another, I tried to convey the idea that some of the time we were thinking hard and sailing very well. That isn't to say we didn't sail poorly sometimes. We certainly did. But in any event, it was a book to some extent about excellence. And I'm pleased to say the boat is still on display at the museum. If you want to see a well-built boat, go there. So one or two people have told me there's an inspirational side, namely excellence, to this book. I hope it's true, but I didn't start out to write anything that would be inspirational. The Rheingold song isn't inspirational. It's just plain fun.
Mm. Perfect place to end this, and I hope people pick up the book for sure. You can do that. Amazon, of course, the usual channels. Bill Fortenbaugh, thanks so much for joining us on the show. We appreciate it.
Well, you're nice to have had me. I enjoyed it.
If you like alkaline water, or know someone that does, you're going to love the Dillon Living Water Bottle. It creates alkaline water on the go while reducing plastic waste and saving you money. Made with surgical-grade stainless steel, the Dillon bottle increases the pH up to 9 to deliver both alkaline and antioxidant water anywhere you want it. Alkaline water is healthier, tastes better, and can even boost energy. The Dillon bottle makes it easy and affordable to be healthy and achieve optimal hydration. Get your Dillon bottle today at dyln.co. That's dyln.co.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com. And use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
I'm going to the man cave.
Going to the man cave.
Going to the man cave. I'm going to the man cave. Yeah, going to the man cave.
Yeah, it is time for Invade the Man Cave. And we have a lot to get to, actually, because so many big things happened. Three fat historic moments in the world of sports, including this one over the weekend, another Triple Crown winner. We were talking about the possibility heading into the Belmont. The favorite horse, Justify, came around the turn like this.
Justify comes roaring home to a raucous Belmont Park with 1 furlong to run. Gronkowski and Hofberg trying to run him down. Vino Rosso is fourth, a 16th to go. Justify is still there. Justify from Gronkowski. He's just perfect, and now he's just immortal. Justify is the 13th Triple Crown winner. Gronkowski was second. Hofberg was third, and Vino Rosso was fourth. Justify has done it.
Wow, what a call. What an incredible call. And yes, Justify has done it. Thanks to Westwood One for the call of that race that you might have seen on NBC. An incredible horse, Bob Baffert, the trainer, I think the best trainer in horse racing, and now has two Triple Crown winning horses because American Pharoah was the last horse to do it back in 2015. And boy, Justify is a horse that in February, people weren't even talking about this horse. That's what's so phenomenal about the speed of the horse and the fact that looking at Justify, you know, this was a horse also that the first couple of legs of the Triple Crown ran in the mud. So the Preakness and the Kentucky Derby were horrible, muddy tracks. This was a clear day, but a very long distance at the Belmont. Impressive. And, of course, the voice of Larry Colmus is undeniable, and he had just a brilliant call there. So I'm going to give him, you know, a pass to the locker room anytime he wants it. He's tremendous. Then we had the series between the Warriors and the Cavaliers, and many of you listening to me in Ohio sending me emails like Rick and Bill saying you can't believe that the Cavaliers didn't even get one game. They were swept by the Warriors. After the series, LeBron James said when he was frustrated after the first game, because there was a chance that they perhaps could have won that, J.R. Smith confused at the tail end of regulation as to what the score was in the game. It ended up in overtime, and the Warriors took it, and then the rest is history. They took the other three games and swept the Cavaliers. So LeBron James, after that first game, was a little bit frustrated, hit a whiteboard with his hand, and broke it. Here's what he had to say about his broken hand.
Self-inflicted, post-game after game one, very emotional. The way we played, the calls that was made throughout the course of that game, you know, I had emotions on, you know, the game was taken away from us. I had emotions of you just don't get an opportunity like this on the road versus Golden State to be able to get a game one. And, you know, I let the emotions get the best of me and pretty much played the last three games with a broken hand.
Now, the speculation is whether LeBron James, who could be opt out of his contract through free agency, of course, because he wouldn't be in the contract, then if he does that, he could play with the Lakers, could play with Houston, could play with a couple of other teams. But the Cavaliers will try to keep him in the fold. They'll have to pay him a ton of money. It's not about the money. It's about having LeBron stay in Cleveland. He left Cleveland before, went to Miami, and then came back. So the offseason is going to be that dance between LeBron James, the Cavaliers, and everybody else in the NBA. As for the Warriors, it's three championships in 4 years, back-to-back, because they won last year. Steph Curry talked about, are the Warriors a dynasty?
No idea. Not for me to answer that question. I just know what we've been able to accomplish is really meaningful and something that not many players have been able to experience. So wherever that puts us in the conversation, history of the NBA or, you know, titles around dynasty and all that type of stuff, I'm a three-time champ. We got a lot of three-time, two-time champs in there. And we'll have plenty of time in our lives to discuss that later. So I want to keep this thing going as long as we can.
Yeah, and there's good news for Steph Curry. They look like they could be the team, and the wise guys say they are, to be the favorites again heading into the offseason. So maybe the Warriors come out of the West. Now, depending on what happens with LeBron James and if he goes to a team in the West and they would meet before the finals, who knows? So there's a lot of question marks that are hanging in the balance, as always, in an offseason. But not for the Warriors. They definitely have a dynasty going on and could find themselves in the same position depending on the health of a couple of players. Like Kevin Durant was the MVP again. He was absolutely phenomenal. In fact, you got to love it when you can write your own ticket. How many out there listening to me would love to write their own ticket? So the Golden State Warriors GM, Bob Myers, is going to, you know, sign him, going to try to quickly re-sign Kevin Durant, and he could sign for maybe 4 years for about $160 million. But Golden State said they're prepared to give him whatever he wants. He has said he wants to stay put, especially because, of course, he won a couple of championships. And he'll probably get in that neighborhood of $160 million, which then he'll have endorsements and everything else that will also pile on. Stick and Puck, I'm a fan. I don't know about you, but the NHL came down to an interesting finish with the Vegas Golden Knights representing the West, and the Washington Capitals, who for 44 years have never won a cup but had a loyal fan base, and especially in the last couple of years, there's been a lot of interest in the Capitals. Well, here's what the final game between the Capitals and the Vegas Golden Knights sounded like.
The puck is dropped. Start the celebration in our nation's capital. The Washington Capitals, for the first time in franchise history, are the Stanley Cup champion. They are off the bench. The Bob, Brandon Holtby, sticks, gloves, helmets all over the ice. Celebrating behind the goal, the Capitals. With a 4-3 victory, they win the series in five after losing the opener. The Capitals are the Stanley Cup champions here in 2018.
Wow, how about that? Great call there. Thanks to Westwood One for that as well. Really, the Capitals Radio Network. But, yeah, big parade coming up Tuesday morning. A big parade, in fact, 11 o'clock in the morning, East Coast time, right through the belly of the nation's capital by all those monuments. And on the West Coast, 11 o'clock Pacific time, the Warriors will have yet another parade. If you're a fan, it doesn't get old. And certainly for the Washington Capitals, they haven't had this. And Washington hasn't had a championship of any sort since the early 90s when the Redskins won the Super Bowl. So it's a big deal. Woohoo! Everybody's taken off work. And D.C. is shut down, right? Like most days. Good reminder for all of you. Invade the Man Cave. Go to invadethemancave.com. And for the first 20 people that jump on that email list, trust me, there's no spamming, but I will send you an autographed copy of my book, Invade the Man Cave or Level the Playing Field. Pretty cool stuff in it, including all those sports nuggets about face painters. You know, you go to your alma mater, paint your face, and scream like a wild man cheering for your favorite football team. Or perhaps you like sports of different sorts. The Olympics. Maybe you don't watch many sports, but you like the Olympics or the Iditarod. I'm fascinated by the Iditarod, and I wrote about it. I wrote about the fact that it's officially been around since 1973, but dog mushing has been a way in Alaska, a way of life in Alaska since the late 1800s. And in fact, I talk about the very first race. Here's a nugget for you. 1908, the All-Alaska Sweepstakes. Racing 408 miles from Nome to Candle. Oh, how do they do that? I have no clue. Anyway, check out invadethemancave.com. Sign up there, and I'll send you a copy of one of those two books. You gotta love that. Better than a poke in the eye. Thanks for listening to this version of ATN. I'm Kate Delaney. Woo-hoo.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Pro Pure Gravity Water Filters. Most tested, most trusted. The Pro One G2.0 filter by Pro Pure fits most gravity systems and is so easy to set up and use. No priming required. Independent lab tested to NSF standards. Removes up to 200 plus contaminants with Pro One G2.0 full spectrum filter technology. Pro Pure Water Filters. When you don't know what's in your water, start enjoying great tasting water today. Visit an authorized Pro Pure dealer or ProPureUSA.com.